Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hi, everyone. My name is Gaia. And soon you'll hear Raga.
Hello. This is Raga.
Raga, I think we can hear you. I don't know.
I feel like this is how the astronauts must have felt when they were like.
I hope this is not how the astronauts felt.
This would be so disconcerting. Imagine you're up there and then you're like, anyway.
What do all these buttons do, guys? This is Fishbowl, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is our first show, so everyone hang on with us. We don't really know what we're doing. My name's Gaia.
And my name's Raga. And I guess just to run through the Tufts classic, name's Raga, senior, she, her pronouns, English and economics major with a minor in film and media studies. I don't know what you guys will do with that information, but Gaia, if you want to give your credentials.
Right. Yep, senior, she, her pronouns. That's so funny. It feels so funny to do that on a radio where no one's looking at us.
Right. Still perceived, I guess.
Still perceived, right. I'm an anthropology major. God, it's so funny. I do this so often.
Yeah.
I guess we had this whole thing about how we were going to ask who we really are after our Tufts intros. So, Raga, who are you really?
I don't even know even if we had that prepared, I don't think I would ever have had an answer to that. 5'2". I go for physical descriptions first.
And they can't see us.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Wait, let's go. You know what we should probably start with? Because people are probably listening to us and they're probably worried that like we're just going to keep going.
Right.
We should probably tell them what our show is.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do the honors?
Well, our show, Fishbowl, just to give a quick origin story, there's like a three-part reason why we named it Fishbowl. The first is after that game that's also called Salad Bowl, and it's just like another version of charades where everyone in the group just writes down a little thing on a piece of paper, folds it up, puts it in a bowl, preferably a fishbowl, and then you kind of play a couple rounds of like, guess what this is without saying, you kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain the round? No, it's just a game.
No, it's just like a game.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun, honestly. Recommend. Sure. Look it up on your
just
own
trust.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also named after the Tisch Library Fishbowl.
Yeah, the fishbowl in the library.
Yeah, not sure why. Don't actually have that much of a positive connotation with it, but...
I try and study there, and it's always taken. I think I've maybe managed to study there once in my whole time here.
In your whole time here?
Okay, that's an exaggeration.
That's fair. Good use of hyperbole.
And the third one?
And the third one is just, like, I have a fishbowl in my living room right now. My dining room table.
With a fish in it.
With a fish in it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You have a fish.
Yeah, I have a fish.
You don't just have a fishbowl.
I know. I have a fish and a fishbowl. Yeah. But two fish, actually, one fishbowl.
Oh, no way.
It used to be three fish.
Oh, they eat it?
Something like that. The name of the fishbowl is the Yalta Conference, so if that puts some historical say into it, I won't get it.
The Yalta Conference?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because each of the fish are named after, like, the big three. I didn't name them.
Okay, and so what is Fishbowl? So we've described the origin story, but what is it?
Oh, right. Well, Fishbowl is going to be a little talk show where we talk about things. We'll have other people talk about things.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
It is 2 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Or a Wednesday morning.
I guess it's technically a Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to get other people to come in, interview them, talk about what we would hope to be interesting things, and then see where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say also at 2 a.m. is everything more or less interesting?
Yeah.
I have zero control over my thoughts right now, but...
I know. I'm slipping into delirium here, and this setting is surreal. Having access to all these buttons and looking at these screens feels a little... I should not have this power right now.
Anyway.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. This is my first time on radio.
Yeah, I guess I've never really been on the radio either. In this way, I get why people just put on music and they're like, Beyonce has more to say than I do.
I know. And they often do have a lot more to say than we do.
But
let's jump in. I think we decided our first topic was going to be Tufts, which is super original and cool of us.
I know. But honestly, we're seniors, and I feel like who to talk about Tufts other than us?
It feels like the time. It's all we do. Well, more so we talk about our futures.
Yeah.
In the context of what happens after Tufts.
Yeah.
But we're still going through it.
Yeah. This is magnetic. Sorry. Anyways.
They can't see the magnetic thing that you just talked about.
Yeah, that's true. But they had to trust us, and I feel like that's the first step forward.
I just realized we're 7 minutes in, and this we have to keep talking and sound kind of interesting for literally 53 more minutes with, like, a couple minutes dedicated to a PSA, which, don't worry, it'll happen.
Well, okay. I think that let's just try to see what the words come out.
Oh, right, sure. Let's do that. Okay, this was your idea. Go on. What do you have to say about Tufts?
Okay. Well, kind of hard to just start off that way, but I think that...
We had a list of questions, and then we forgot it at Raga's house as we walked over here.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, to be fair, and I don't mean to make, like, an admission so early on, but I, like, knew that we didn't have it as we walked out. Like,
oh,
even
wow.
As I left, I was like, we don't have
Was that control. Intentional?
Maybe part of it was, like, we just had to have no control and just free, like, let whatever happens happen. But, loud.
Loud?
Yeah. Not in a bad way.
I can't hear you in my headphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you want to try other headphones?
Well, that might be just because my headphones are not connected to something.
Oh, do you see if they're connected to something?
It's connected to something. I just don't know what that is. And I don't want to mess with things.
Well, I feel like... What if we did this?
Oh, no.
That's certainly not a thing.
Okay, I think we shouldn't touch too many things.
I'm not touching too many. Man, this show's crazy, huh?
I'm just worried that we're... Okay. Oh, I can totally hear myself.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Whoa, that's crazy.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what we just did.
Nothing.
This is embarrassing. We're on the radio.
I don't think it's that embarrassing.
Okay, I believe you.
I think we just need to settle into it.
Yeah, we just have to say something interesting now.
Okay, but you keep on saying it like that. How are we ever going to say anything interesting?
I know, I guess you're right. I'm just nervous.
I know. This is my same thing about, like, comedians, though. If they write that they're a comedian on Twitter, and then you read something they write, and it's not funny, then you're like, well, why'd you set me up with false standards? I would have laughed.
Absolutely.
Next
time we should have background music.
Ooh.
Totally. I think that would set the mood.
Yeah, but I don't know how you play the mic and the background music.
I don't know. We're going to have to look at the so-called DJ manual again.
True. But it's good to know, guys. We are looking at it.
We actually have it open right now in case something goes wrong.
Let's try to have a conversation and see what happens.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So a friend of mine was recently explaining this concept called...
Oh, gosh.
Heterotopias. And I'm going to actually literally read from the Wikipedia here because Wikipedia has already said it better. So some philosopher has used this concept to describe certain cultural, institutional, and discursive, don't know what that means, spaces that are somehow other, so disturbing, intense, incompatible, contradictory, transforming. Heterotopias are worlds within worlds, mirroring and yet upsetting what is outside. Whoever wrote this Wikipedia post, Loki should be
I always think that about Wikipedia.
I'm like
literary. You don't get paid. Yeah. And there's millions of web Wikipedia pages.
Yeah.
And they're well written.
No, this is totally like really well written. Anyways, just this idea of like you cross a threshold into a place that kind of has a different set of rules. And I'm sorry to my friend Jill. I probably like really didn't explain this well, but I've been thinking about that a lot in the context of like college and just like the way that we kind of exist in this bubble and we exist within world inside of worlds. And I guess just like for more examples that make it more clear, like what a heterotopia might be, is like things like a library where you just like cross in and then you kind of accept this norm of like being quiet, or like a movie theater or a cemetery. They're just like these like physical spaces that we enter into that kind of feel oddly, like in some sense, like a parallel
right.
to what we, yeah. So we were just kind of talking about even before this show, just like what are places that feel like that and like.
Yeah. Where you just, well, I think in general, it's so interesting to think about all the implicit things that you're supposed to just like, know when entering any situation. Not even just like libraries are distinct, right? Because you know you have to use your inside voice versus your outside voice, and like it's a place of particularly of a particular activity, aka like studying or whatever. But you could say that about like anything. You were talking about parties.
You
asked the question like, what do we actually do?
Oh my god, that's been my that's and we can, like, talk about that even now. But just this thing of, like, what do we say and do and how do we perform once we enter into these spaces? And, like...
And what do we do for, like, hours? We're there for hours.
Yeah. And also just this thing of, like, kind of knowing in your mind what you're getting into. Like, in terms of, like, these are houses you've probably been to and people you've seen and music you've heard. And it's funny because in these kind of like common, not necessarily uncertain spaces, we have so much like hope for potential of the unexpected, right? Like you go somewhere you've already been, you could literally go with your same friends, listen to the same songs, and some part of you thinks that something different is going
to
happen.
Well, okay, I hate to ask, but this is Kiara's theory of collision.
Well, I put the name on it.
Oh wow. Okay, but, so this is Raga's title of Kiara's theory of collision.
Well, yeah. So my friend Kiara, we were just like having a conversation just about to go out or to stay in, right? Like the classic thing. And she just made the comment of like, when she stays in, she knows exactly what's going to happen. Like she has control over the situation, the setting. But when she goes out, she just invites this possibility and potential for chaos. Like, just in the smallest way. It could just be, like, one decision or one conversation. But, like, that little nugget of something uncontrollable is, like, why you go out.
Ever since you put it to me that way, I have been more excited about going out in general.
Which is fun. That's funny, yeah.
I totally like that little piece of just like that collision aspect of just potentially bumping into something new and exciting, which doesn't always happen.
No.
It's kind of what you were saying. Like you go to these, you know, if you're listening and you're not from Tufts, which I actually, I think I might have a home friend listening right now, which is crazy. If you are, Carson, love you. But otherwise, like you go to these parties at Tufts and they're all basically in basements and they all about look and smell the same and there isn't much variation, but on the off chance there is, like, why not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, part of it was I think it's so different now as a senior than as like a freshman. I guess, like, because coming in, like, in high school I didn't really drink or anything. And I just, like, from the suburb. To describe the suburb, basically, like, small. The only thing interesting is, like, the center of town, like, has a library and, like, a really good kind of, like, Mediterranean food place. And we have a lake. But, like, there's nothing to do. Like, no one was ever doing anything in the suburb. But, like, I think that when you first come in as a first year, I, like, remember feeling that classic, like, go to these frat parties. Just, like, I don't even know what I was doing. Like, nothing. But I feel like I wasn't viewing it really as this chance of potential. I was just, like, which I don't think I was going to really find a chance of potential, something that interesting maybe at these frat parties either. But, like, it's funny after having, like, been there, done, like, having experienced these spaces, having them be, like, familiar, somehow that's making it more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that speaks to just, like, a lot of other circumstances, too. Like, just having more friends.
Yeah. Like, that sounds like...
Yeah.
Just being...
Older. Knowing people.
Yeah. That being said, though, I think we've also had this conversation as a senior. I don't feel at all that much more, like... Well, okay, that's not true. Obviously, we're older, and we have... more experience and we like I guess but I also just don't feel I don't know
what's the
like I don't know I just don't feel it's like I could totally be a freshman again.
Like, do you feel that in terms of just like in general, like uncertainty of like Tufts as a space or like
maybe, but maybe that's the transfer aspect.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. That's like, it. I feel, and the pandemic, I don't know, the relationship I have to this campus is a little less, like, I still don't know. I don't know what building we're in right now.
We're in Curtis Hall.
There you go. I've always heard about Curtis Hall. Never knew this was Curtis Hall. This is exactly what I'm saying. Like, I guess maybe it's my sense of, like...
place.
Yeah. I don't really have it here yet.
That's so interesting.
I do, but I don't know.
What do you think defines your sense of place here, then? Like, are there...
Like, my house. Yeah. My off-campus house.
Yeah.
And then the, like, the usuals. The libraries.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's how it also makes, like, Tufts kind of a funky little campus, is that we, like, extend into this off-campus realm where, like, you can kind of live on the peripheral of it. Like, you could just, like, go from house to house and not step on campus, and, like, that's its own world, too. And, like, entering that as a junior.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, so different than, like...
Yeah. We have... We do houses.
Yeah.
We do them.
Like that commercial. It's like, we build ugly houses. Or, like,
we buy... Oh, my God. We buy ugly houses. But isn't there a commercial that's also, like, we do... We do...
Just do it is the Nike.
No. But, okay. But we, like, I think that's crazy about any college that has off-campus housing is that you just, like, are thrown into the world of making, like, home.
Domesticity.
Domesticity,
that's
sure.
That's what it feels like. Compromise. That's what it also feels like. Anyways, stirring from the original idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking
of Tufts.
Oh, yeah. Or heterotopias at Tufts.
Oh, right. Heterotopias. What do you... Okay. Sorry. Could you just, like... So... Heterotopias are places where there's distinct ways that you're supposed to act.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is, isn't that always?
Every way? Yeah.
Or in the Wikipedia thing, it said kind of that it was, like, potentially those places that are seen as bad. Or not bad, but, like...
Somehow other, disturbing, intense,
disturbing.
Incompatible, contradictory, transforming. Worlds within worlds, mirroring, and yet upsetting what is outside.
That's so interesting. I'm trying to think, like, why is my first thought bathrooms?
It's funny, because maybe we just start to think, I mean, the examples here are ships, cemeteries, bars, brothels, prisons, gardens of antiquity, fairs.
Gardens of antiquity?
It's funny, because maybe you just start to think about just literal, physical, confined spaces, right?
Like, oh.
Maybe that's what you're thinking, right? Like a bathroom.
Like a bathroom.
Or like rooms, rooms just themselves
being...
distinct and separated.
Yeah.
I guess, like...
Why were you talking about this?
Yeah.
With...
Why I was talking about this was, like, in terms of Tufts, was just this understanding of us living in a bubble. It's just, like, that classic, like, kind of, like, we are in this college campus that is, like, bounded.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we leave, we will somehow act differently. Not just because we're, like, real people in the real... Like, that separation, frankly. Like, this distinction between existing in college, existing in this world with rules, and then this this constant other beyond, which is reality. Like, I think we grew up always being like, there's going to be a time when the adult world will kick in.
Right.
And so if this is like the heterotopia in terms of time and place.
Oh, Tufts itself.
Tufts and college.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's
okay, so what do you think are the distinct rules of Tufts? What do you think, like, as a Tufts student, what are the supposed rules? Is that even the question?
I don't know.
Because I guess within each space there's different things. But I feel like, oh my God, it could totally be that just general, like, admissions questions. Like, what is the Tufts student?
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know.
I mean,
who's the,
there's not.
Yeah. I do write for admissions, though.
So you do. Ooh, let's get some insight. What's it like on the... Ooh, you know what? I think everyone would probably be dying to know. What's it like in admissions? How do you guys think?
The thing is, I'm not really...
What do you guys want?
I'm not any of the ones making any of the choices. What it showed me more than anything is just, like, there are just people on the other end who, like, drink coffee in between reading your application. And they're just sitting there being like, maybe yeah, maybe no.
Wow. Wait, actually, I want to hear more about that.
Well, I literally think I signed something, which means I can't fully talk about it. But I also don't know that much. Because I don't read
that
people's
makes it
applications.
That sound so much more official.
It does. But I don't like read anyone's applications. I just like for the magazine. And even then, I don't even do it on the deadline. So,
yeah.
Not the best hire.
Yeah. I'm not going to name her. Well, partly... maybe because I've forgotten her name, but
that's great.
There was this girl who also works for admissions, and she was saying that she was reading some of them, or she had met someone who was touring and was like whatever. Anyways, she was admitted, and then one of her higher ups, the girl who works for admissions, let's call her Sophie. I don't know why I had to give her a name, but she hears from her higher up that, like, oh, you should read this part of the application, that of this girl we just accepted. It's really sweet. It mentions you. And, the little part says something like, you know, after meeting Sophie, and, you know, getting that tour, and I just really want to be like the typical tough student, which is exactly what Sophie was. And then it goes into this whole thing of just like basically in the most like unintentionally harmful way, was basically like describing how like normal Sophie was and unexciting, and how like that's exactly what she wants to be and something else.
So this girl wants to be really normal and unexciting,
or just like in the way that I guess, like, she told, I mean, this is an admissions essay, so
right,
she was
right,
like
right, right,
in the way that people are normal, and I'm using air quotes at Tufts, yeah, is that they do all these exciting things, but it was totally with this context of like, yeah, this girl's just pretty standard.
Yeah, right. How do you think Sophie felt about that?
She was upset. She brought it up. She was upset. We were yelling about it on the T.
Man, you had a crazy conversation with someone whose name you really don't remember.
Yeah. Honestly, it might be Sophie, which is hilarious. And if it is, I'm so sorry, Sophie.
Well, I don't know.
I think she broke some codes of whatever you signed.
Yeah. That's really funny. Whenever a tour group passes by, I try to say a thing so I can get in there. Or, that's not true. Whenever a tour group passes by, I want to say a thing that they would write in their application. Because my friend Sabrina wrote something in her application about... people, I think, lined in Carm or Dueck being like, P is for potatoes, P is for potatoes, in reference to something related to, like, physics. But that line is in her.
Oh, that's cute.
Her supplement.
I read on Side Chat. Okay, and this is, like...
Yeah.
First of all, I'm assuming everyone who's listening know what's... I was just visiting friends, and a lot of... I kind of assumed this was, like, college-wide.
Yeah.
That everyone has Side Chat. I don't know how popular it is.
I don't even have it downloaded.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
It's my one form of social media right now.
Yeah,
I'm kind of enjoying it.
That's a crazy one to
have. It is a crazy one to have. But you know what's nice is that it's literally just the Tufts bubble.
Right.
So it's just Twitter.
Right, for Tufts.
But for Tufts.
And probably more targeted and angry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it also kind of is not that great, so right. I don't spend too much time on it. It's perfect. But I read this thing on Side Chat. About how people, like, someone said, oh, it's my favorite time of the year, the tour groups are back, and I like going into them and asking, like, heinous questions, like, basically pretending to be a prospective student and asking like ridiculous questions. God. Can you imagine?
That would take a lot of confidence.
I know. Well, then I was thinking, like, what kind of questions could you ask that are, like...
heinous enough to say they're heinous.
Yeah. But also not, like, outwardly just terrible.
Yeah. I wonder what they asked. Did anybody ask them what they asked?
Yeah, and I don't think they had responded yet. Yeah. Sorry.
It's not really...
it's a dead end. It's a dead end part of the conversation, but... I keep checking the time because I know we're supposed to do a PSA in 5 minutes.
Do you want to do it now?
Yeah, I don't really know what the rules are.
Me neither, so...
Are you supposed to do it 30 on the dot?
Well...
probably not. I'll look at some. Maybe we can just have a section on PSAs.
It's really catching a lot of the...
I know.
Which is interesting, too.
There's a lot of things that I think we have to learn about this setup.
Yeah. Good thing we only have, like, a couple weeks to do it.
Good thing. All right, say something. Say something cool.
Okay. Well, to go back to this original topic we are not ever going to really parse through, partly because I don't think I fully understand what it means, but isn't that all of academia? Anyways, I was just thinking about Pro Row. If you ever walk down Pro Row alone, I mean, you don't have to do it alone, but like at 10 p.m. on a Friday or Saturday night, I feel like that's when you feel... this silly little buzz of the college life. Like, I don't know, something about it is so charming because you're walking by these first years, you're walking by these sophomores and just people going from place to place. And it's this strange sense of like, I don't even know where anyone's going and if where they're going is all that exciting, but like, it's the chance of collision that is just constantly occurrent on these college campuses. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that that's the thing I'll miss. And sometimes it exhausts me because I don't really know what more I can say to these people. I feel like what I learned, the biggest thing I learned was like...
I don't know what more I could say to these people.
Well, these people not just being like my peers, but just like the different, like the multitude of interactions we're expected to have. And I'm a social person. I like that. But something about it's really funny and it is performative. Okay. Example is just like the highs and hays. Like... I remember my freshman year just thinking so much because like in high school, when you walk by somebody on the way to class... You have like 5 minutes. So it's like your friend, you're like, hey, maybe like I don't know, give them a, what's it called? Like a high five. Whatever.
You just fist bump yourself.
Fist bump. That's what it is. They wouldn't have known. But you give them a fist bump and you kind of go on your way. You have 5 minutes. But in college, there's just the amount of time that you can actually have a full-blown conversation. Mm. So you have to learn how to say like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then keep walking, avert your eyes. Or you have to be like,
some of the best parts of my day, right? Or some of the least, like the worst.
But it's like, even with my closest friends, I'll have these like crazy, they're not even crazy. It's just like an interaction that is just an interaction for the sake of acknowledgement. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny to me because I'm like, I don't know how many more, like in a day, if you have a series of bad ones, you're like, damn.
Yeah, but isn't it sad to think that we might move somewhere else and you're not going to have that. You're going to be walking down these streets and you don't know anyone. Know. And like, the U.S., people don't really exchange niceties.
Yeah. That could be true, too.
What's your MO when you pass someone on the street? Like, on Pro Row?
On Pro Row. Well,
and so I let's make a distinction, like 10 p.m. and 10 a.m.
Okay. So I'll do 10 a.m. first. Mm-hmm. Is it someone I know?
Okay, two scenarios again.
Sure.
Someone you know and someone you don't know.
Well, we do have this funny experience. Like, I think if I were in a city, I wouldn't really be making so much eye contact with everyone I pass by.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's like stranger and we're still like...
You make eye contact?
Not on purpose. It's just like eyes.
What do you mean not on purpose? So,
like, I just mean that like, it's like everyone is looking at everyone. Like, I feel like in a city, I would think that no one's looking at anyone. So when you're passing, you're truly just like you passing another person passing. But here, I don't know if it's just like to be like, who is that? But I feel like everyone's always looking at everyone. So what they're really trying to do is not look at everyone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I do is I look down.
Yeah.
Really interested in my boots, I guess.
But you know what? I go through this conscious thing where I'm like, I want them to almost think that I'm not even thinking about it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So then sometimes what I do is like, this is so embarrassing, but like I'll like look somewhere else and then like right when they're passing me, I look at them.
Mm-hmm. And if I've done that too. And part of it is if you do a quick look up and you see it's someone that you do know, but the timing isn't right, you both have to do an obligation of just looking down, looking away, and then when the timing's right, being like,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like those little things that kill me about human interaction. Like, it's so hard. Like, why is that the hard thing?
I know. Well, that honestly goes back to what I guess I was saying is, like, where does this idea of the
heterotopia.
Heterotopia, like, begin and end? Because...
Sorry,
oh.
I just
want to
say facts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you. We just got a visitor, and he says facts about...
I'm glad that you're relating to
I'm glad. At least we have one listener we know, guaranteed. Appreciate it. But yeah, I like... It's funny because in these little interactions where, like, we're walking, like... When we're meeting each other, just in general, like, there's always this code of how you're supposed to act. And I think it's really, honestly, fun to think about. Because then you can think about the small ways in which you could, if you're so bold, but, like, to make interactions just slightly off.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I took a class semester where it was called End of Work, whatever. One of our topics was about, like, challenging the status quo, right? And we learned about this guy named Diogenes. And he was in like, ancient Greeks or whatever. And his whole thing was about, he was like, it's you guys. Everyone thought he was the crazy guy. But he was like, you guys are crazy for just, like, living in these ways and thinking that this is the normal way to do things and that there's no other way. And so he would actively, like, just be weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone would assign him, like, the idea of, like, craziness, but instead of thinking, oh, maybe he's just, like, actually trying to shake some things up. And so it would be the kind of thing where, like, he would walk past someone and he would just stare into their eyes, which is such a small thing.
Right.
Like, that's not you're not revolutionizing it, but, like, you're kind of challenging people to think about the ways in which things could be different,
right? Or like how our expectations are, like, I don't know, there's like a disruption of our expectation. But like that actually is so funny because I was just a speaker coach for TEDx, right? And so my speaker Sheridan, she's like a professional actor and experience in physical comedy and like teaches about Tai Chi and
cool person.
Some other like clown related classes. And it's so funny, her talk is about the way of the fool, and essentially one of the core ideas is, like, how can we be more present by accepting and inviting, like, the ridiculousness of everyday life? And, like, that seems pretty simple, but it's just, like, part of it is, like, addressing the moments that you do feel uncomfortable when you don't have to. Like, an example is, like, she had the audience, like, howl.
Oh, wait, no way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so, or, like, stick their tongue out and says, like, shy? Why? Your tongue doesn't mind. Like, we're all just fools in this dark room. Like, what really is making us uncomfortable about these things?
Yeah.
And then another thing that she said similarly is, like, you know, when you're going down the path, like, look to make eye contact with someone. If they look up, say, hey, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, give the public something to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, just these, like...
Give the public something to
talk about. These things of, like... And I think about it a lot about, like, dancing, even.
Yeah.
Just, like... Where does our discomfort in kind of living in the moment, being present, moving our body, or like kind of doing weird and wacky things, like, what are we actually afraid of? Are we afraid of like the impression that we make is weird, or that like people won't like us for it, or that like
just not fitting in?
Not fitting in.
Not fitting in. I think that's it. I think that's honestly it. Yeah. It's just this not fitting in.
Yeah. And I guess my second half too, to just, I like the story that you shared. Like, it's like funny, this idea of just like disrupting normal, like what normalcy is like.
Yeah.
My English class that I'm in, that I was just mentioning to earlier, is Enlightenment, Art, and Illusion. And a lot of what we're talking about is pinpointing the ways that we're courtiers, which is like kind of like the old Renaissance time, people who are in the court. And they just were kind of advisors.
I love
kind
thinking
of,
about that. What happened in old courts.
Right? But, like, a courtier is, like, someone who really is able to... they have sprezzatura, which is the idea of...
You're throwing in a lot
the
of
art
fun
of being
words.
artful. Something about how it's like to try but look like you're not trying, right? So like a lot of this course is just talking about all these ways that we kind of perform, but by seeming that we're not performing, and like kind of this disguise of
absolutely.
And just like, I remember our teacher has pointed out multiple times, just like, look at you guys. Like, you're all performing as students.
Mm-hmm.
You nod at the right time. You look down when you want it. Like,
absolutely.
We do these. And same thing with when we're walking on the sidewalk. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And I think about that. And the classic example, you're on the train, it's raining outside, you're listening to music, and you're feeling some type of way.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, are you really feeling that type of way? Or do you just want to be feeling some type of way?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
oh my God, like that thing where you look up the window and it's like raining. And
that's exactly what I said.
Oh, I thought you said walking. Oh.
No, but it's the same.
That's sorry. Awesome. I was concerned with another flashing light on the thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
We have to do a PSA.
All right, go ahead.
This is something that we learned when we took on this, I don't know, when we became DJs, I guess. you have to do a PSA every 30 minutes. So I just found one here. It's on Food Not Bombs, which is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment.
Wow.
Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information, visit foodsnotbombs.net. A public service message from Food Not Bombs and WMFO in Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. That honestly kind of speaks to what we were just talking about a little bit.
Like lines being another heterotopia.
Or direct action to change society. Well, they're doing it a bit more
directly.
But like making sure everyone eats,
yeah,
probably a good thing.
Probably.
We should do. All right, I can't talk about that right now. I'm not about to unpack this Food Not Bombs thing, but I've heard about it and it's a really cool organization, so people who are listening should check it out.
Cool.
Anyways we never said who we are. I realized.
Yeah, we did.
No? Well, we did the Tufts intro, and then you said you were
5'2".
5'2".
But these days it feels like 5'3". But that's just a feeling.
I know. She really is 5'8" in, like, my mind. If that makes anyone. Yeah. I know. I knew that one.
I know.
You'd like that one.
Well, I prefer 5'7", but 5'8"'s not.
Why not 5'8"?
It's just something about it.
Too tall?
No, not too tall. It's just something about it.
Don't you have this whole idea of a production company that's called 5'8" or something?
No, it's called 5'7".
Oh, okay. Hence, there we go.
Yeah. There's some...
There's some continuity.
Yeah. Anyways, well, I never asked you who you are.
Oh.
You asked me who
well,
I was.
Well, I'm 5'8". What else do you need to know? I don't know. It's such a crazy question.
I was just thinking that. Like, what... Do you recall there ever being a question that someone asked you where you were like, yeah, this is a good way for me to reveal something about myself that will make sense in the context of this?
Well, thinking about this heterotopia stuff, like, there is a right and wrong way to answer this question, right? Like, in a sense.
I think we've, like, reformed heterotopias, which is kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I know. I think we're using it too broadly.
Yeah, but that's fine. Let's
or
put it
what, norms. What is it? Normative way to answer. Because, like, if I were to go on this whole... Imagine I just went from, like, birth to now.
Yeah.
And, like, that's who I am. And I did that whole thing, and I subjected you guys to, like, 20 minutes of...
You've got some good stories.
I have some good stories, for sure. But, like, that would be a bizarre thing to do if you asked me, like, oh, who are you? Like, short little intro.
I guess that would mean who are you means that you're like the sum of all your previous experiences. You know, constant context, right?
Are you a sum of your experiences, or are you your beliefs,
or are you just like here now?
What do you think?
I don't know. I think I often will opt for this thing of like, I need to clarify my background.
Ooh.
That like somehow I remember I was writing this thing to myself, kind of like a journal entry, which I don't really journal. But, like, what I wrote in it was something like, oh, somehow it always goes back to, like, this blue house at the end of the road that, like, so often every time I try to, like, write about myself, the first thing I'm talking about is my childhood. Like, it really just is.
That's such a beautiful way to put it. God. The blue house at the end of the road.
Well, it's true. I live in a blue house at the end of the road. Yeah. And, like, it's funny to have such, like, here's another unrelated story. Mm-hmm. My dad has been, like, last summer, has been converting the VCR tapes to digital. It's like a whole thing. So I remember coming down the stairs once, like, summer or winter break, and there my dad is, like, cross-legged, like, with the laptop connected to the TV, so it's, like, projecting as it's turning, like, these digital videos. And it's a video of my brother's Oppenheim, which is a, like, thread ceremony, which is just, like, this whatever Hindu Brahmin ritual. And so he's around 8 years old, I'm around 5 years old, and I'm on the screen crying. I'm throwing a tantrum, essentially. Like, we're all sitting on the floor with these, like, leaves, which was what they're serving the food on, and my cousins are around me just chit-chatting, like, having a good time. And my mom, my poor mom, is just, like, sitting with me, like, rubbing the tears out of my eyes. My hair was, like, everywhere, as always. And I was watching this little creature being like, that's me. Yeah. And, like, just this I don't know, just this real weird sensation of, that's me. I don't know.
Absolutely.
And I think my dad, meanwhile, is just like, oh, my little baby.
Yeah, because he saw you.
Yeah,
he saw knew me. That was you.
Yeah, exactly.
That version existed for him.
Exactly. And for me, I was like, I feel like nothing towards this little tantrum child. Like,
well, okay, I don't know if this is exact. This is kind of different, but, like, I always, you know, when you're like 13 and you're just angry, and you think,
know, when you're 13 and still
and,
in that.
And I mean, yeah, you could be 22 and still angry for sure. But, like, it's the raging hormones. Yeah. It's whatever the hell it was. I think we can curse now. It's like 2 a.m.
Well, is that a curse? Hells?
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's in the, yeah, I think we're in the clear. Although I read in the DJ handbook that it's not very professional a DJ of us to curse, so we probably shouldn't.
We're learning and growing.
We're learning and growing. I'm just saying we're not going to get booted off because it is in the wee hours. Right. Anyway, you think to yourself, you're 13-year-old self, you're like, okay, when I'm a parent, I'm going to remember this and I'm going to understand and I'm going to be better at dealing with
me.
Right. Yeah, basically. And then now I'm 22 and I look at the 13-year-olds on their whatever it is and I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing?
It's 9 years later and no empathy.
No empathy, and it's terrible. I really don't like that. I think I really try hard to put myself in, like, younger people's shoes in general.
Right.
Because I remember just the indignation that I used to feel.
Yeah.
And
just
this sense of, like, how do you guys think that what you're doing is okay right now, you know? And so I'm picturing your little, like, how old were you in this
five.
Video? Your 5-year old self, and you're mad and you're upset about something. And how lovely that your mom was just like,
I know.
But what if, you know, she wasn't? It's just this moment of, like, you think you're so right and you're in your little body and.
No, that's true. I'll offer you another little psych theory. I don't study psych, but I don't know. These, like, come up. Another friend explained this to me. And again, I'm not going to explain it properly. But the idea of kind of like a hot state and a cold state. In that when you are in this hot state, so that could be like you're excited or you're aroused or whatever. Literally, you can think that in an intellectual way too. It doesn't have to be anything.
Oh, weird. Right, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I was thinking intellectual way. What
My
were
point
you?
Is just like you're in some sort of hot state.
Yeah.
And you make a decision. Impulsive often, right? You're in this state. Like, and then later you're in that cold state. You maybe have some distance from it, or you're just like, and you just look back on yourself and you're like, how did I make that choice? Like, how did this same mind and body, you know, who is generally rational, how could they, like, act in this way that's separate? And it's just this thing of, like, you in your cold state can't necessarily access you in your hot state.
Oh, interesting.
We experience some level of cognitive, like, emotional dissonance. And I think that maybe there's something to be said, too, about just not being able to really transpose your mind back into a memory and be like, how could I actually have felt that way?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just, it's funny that we couldn't understand it ourselves before, but I think that some people have different experiences when they look back on their memories. Like, I think some people will look back on a memory and feel like they're in the body, and others will look back and be like third person watching themselves.
Yeah, how do you do, what is your vision when you look back in memories?
Well, can you remember your first memory?
Yeah, and I'm looking at myself. Well, I guess the technical first, like, I guess I'm not. But, like, one that seems the most almost real is I'm looking at myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
And that just seems fake.
Well, part of it is just maybe it's, like, born out of stories told about that moment to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But,
I have this early memory, and I think I see myself, is that I'm maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I'm at preschool, and I, like, it was snowing, and me and my friend Rebecca climb on top of a picnic bench because the snow was so high that we didn't even realize we were climbing on top of a picnic bench. And there was just this moment of, like, oh my God, we're on a picnic bench. That's it. That's, like, the whole memory.
That's your memory?
It must not be, like...
That's cute. That's your first memory?
Not my first, but that's, like, a constant early memory I, like...
My first two, like, and I really do think that they're real because they're just... It seems so strange that they wouldn't be, are in black and white. So what does that mean?
Well, what are they?
One is my parents walking off into this forest... Like, it's this scene, I think they were just, I kind of see them in the distance, and they're walking into this tree line, and that's in black and white, and then the other, and I think it must have been, like, around the same day or the same trip, maybe, because from when I've talked to my parents about it, it's like, yeah, we were on this trip, that's funny, maybe that's a real memory, whatever. The other one is my godfather looking down at me in what must have been, like, my little, like, seat, you know? Not car seat. But not in the car, whatever those are called. Yeah. And it's just his face looking at me. He's not very relevant to my life these days, so it's not, like... It's just funny. Those are two of, like, I would say my first memories, and I must have been really young. I was definitely younger than 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And I... But they're in black and white.
Did you have a dog that maybe you were, like, seeing through?
Maybe.
Are there any photos that you're just...
No.
Maybe you blinked really hard and somehow they became like that after, you know, like, when you blinked really hard.
Maybe color vision just develops later.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe not in that way.
Maybe not in that way.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked a good amount.
We have said a lot of things.
We've done a good job.
I thought so. A lot of the things circled back.
Yeah.
Everything's connected.
Heterotopia.
Yeah, I kind of need to investigate further what that might actually mean.
Yeah.
I think I just like the idea of, like, thresholds and places and, like, how we can experience, like, sudden shifts in feeling just dependent, like, within a moment or within a location. Like, I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it totally does.
I often think about that when I think about the idea of, like, traveling alone. Like, why does it feel so significantly different to travel to one place alone than it is just with one person next to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally shifts the entire experience. Like, I don't even get why. I mean, I do get why, like...
Because you're kind of going through it together.
Yeah.
Alone, like, it's like...
Alone? But, like, why is it... Maybe I just, like, have to travel alone more. But, like...
Do you not like it?
I don't know. It's just, like, opening doors is hard and ordering food is harder and, like, finding a seat and, like, the squeak of the chair and the, like... Knowing
you find
where,
that all harder when
I find
you're
it
not.
Harder.
Mm.
I don't think that's a crazy thing. It's just that Sean, one of my friends, was traveling a lot, and he traveled alone to, like, Vietnam because he's from Singapore to escape his parents. He just wanted a break. And just he made this comment of, like, you eat faster. Like, you're in a restaurant, you order something, and then you eat it. Like,
yeah,
it's not. It's
just
interesting. How many more decisions, like? You can stand there staring at the menu, but at one point you just kind of...
To me, it's easier to travel alone.
But what makes it easier?
Like those examples that you just said, like opening the door, choosing a table, choosing the menu, like you're not thinking about whether
you don't have to consider another voice, like another.
Yeah, people. And yeah. Not that, you know, like I love traveling with other people, but in a sense, I'm not saying that I'm any like happier or sadder. I'm just saying I think I do find it easier.
That's so interesting.
Because you're not. You don't have that second person.
Yeah, there's not like another input to think
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of or even, you know, you open that door and you got to either hold it for them or like they're opening it and you got to like time your hand getting there in time for you to walk through the door.
Another
you
norm.
Know?
Yeah. Something to think about.
Something to think about.
Do we have any closing remarks?
Well, isn't the whole fishbowl thing that we like have a question at the end?
Sure.
Certainly. I thought the whole, like,
yeah,
that game that you talked about was, like, you pick something out of a bowl and then you have to describe
vision. That's
it.
The vision.
That's the vision.
Oh, to play a round of the game.
Oh, no. We could, but that's, I think...
No, I more meant, like, yeah, the question. Like,
the question.
I think the allure of fishbowl as a name, is first, it just sounds cool.
Yeah. It's a great name.
Thanks.
I like it.
And I just like that it could just mean kind of...
Anything.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Should we?
Didn't we have one? But it's in your home now?
No, we didn't have one.
We didn't have a question?
No.
Raga and I had looked up those, like, that New York Times article that's, like, 36 questions to make you fall in love with someone. And we were gonna...
Should we go through all of them?
No. Well, I was going to say that was going to be our episode. I'm kind of glad we didn't do that because that would have been, like, mildly embarrassing.
True.
More so than this has been.
All right.
But choose one, maybe.
Okay. Well, it's just hard because these are kind of silly.
I'm really thinking about how background music would really do us well. We've got to figure that out next time.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, these are kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I think that one, like, the whole thing is really you're supposed to get intimate with someone.
Yeah, I know. Like, what does friendship mean to you?
Oof.
Am I even asking you
that? I like
that.
I like that. That's nice for our first episode.
Oh, I guess that's sweet.
Two friends on a radio show. What is friendship?
Two fish in a sea.
Two fish in a fishbowl.
In a fishbowl.
Why did you say sea?
I just thought we could just broaden it a little bit. Okay, what does friendship mean to you?
Friendship means loyalty.
Oh my god, this is...
I know, this is like suddenly so serious.
Well, yeah, and sappy.
And sappy, but it's true. It means like standing by the people no matter what.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no matter what, it's a bit of a stretch. Well, try. Someone to talk to, someone to gab with.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I saw this interview of, do you watch Sex Education?
Oh, love that show.
So good. What's her name? Amy, the actress. If you don't remember. Amy.
Which
she's like, she's really funny. She's a little silly. She like wants to be a baker at one point. She's like best friends with Maeve.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yes. She's but that so actress silly. Was just going on the spiel about like the importance of her platonic relationships and her. She was saying this actually really love. If I find the video, I think you'd love it. It's really rather like empowering. But she just talks about how she's like, when I'm with my friends, I feel like I can do anything. Like I feel on the top of the world. Like I feel like myself. Yeah. Like I feel like. Like, people put so much pressure on this romantic relationship for being the one to fulfill that. But she was just like, I just got to say, like, when I'm with my friends, I really, like, I'm unstoppable.
Mm.
And I think that was just, like, a beautiful sentiment that I think is a lot of people do feel about. Like, I feel that often with my friendships.
I mean,
right?
That's, like, that is the best feeling.
Yeah.
I would say that's, like, the ideal kind of friendship. I don't know if all friendships have
true that's fair,
yeah, but totally like that is like an
like
incredible
you're with,
way to think
yeah
about
like
it.
You can just think back to those moments even if they're like crazy and silly. Like I think some of my favorite memories in general are like a dinner party with your really close friends and all of a sudden you're sharing stories about this happened like we had this one Thanksgiving like a Friendsgiving and just like telling stories about like who was kind of like a bully when they were like 8 years old and like who was the bystander and like who got in trouble and it's just like random but that warm, fuzzy feeling of just, like, we can say anything and everyone's going to laugh.
Yeah. But I like the taking on the world thing.
Right. Like, that. These are the people who, like,
empower you.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of, like, the crux of a very good friendship, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not all friendships have to be that way, of course.
Yeah. But. Some are quite comforting and they do the opposite almost. Yeah. Which is not bad.
But I also just like the way that, this is stupid, but I like that people feel some type of way around other people. Like, in that way, it's like, why do we go to the parties, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, somehow people are enough to make you feel, yeah, like, new space, whatever. It could be the same space always, but just...
Yeah. Ever since I took my biological anthropology class, all I can think about is how we're apes. Just, like, advanced apes.
Is that comforting to you?
It honestly, it is. We're just, like, monkey-brained. You, yeah, know what I mean? And, like, you know, we just look at another ape and we're like, I like you. Like, something about this ape appeals,
yeah,
to me. And, like... Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more to the apeness than just whatever. But, like, there's a lot... You were talking about aesthetics recently. Whatever. There's a lot of things that go into a person. But, like, not to be so, like, undescriptive, but it's just, like, that vibe. You're like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
And maybe ape to ape.
Yeah.
Wait. You're cool.
And maybe I feel like we're often trying to rationalize all the reasons why we feel some way.
Yeah.
But maybe that's... The True. Thing it comes down to is, like, ape to ape.
You're cool.
I think you're cool. I dig your vibe.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe that's just, like...
Yeah.
Maybe leading with that allows you to lead with uncertainty also.
Yeah.
Because you're not always trying to find a reason why. You're just, like, ape to ape. This is how things are.
And honestly, I think that's a really, like... Someone asked me, like, what would your piece of advice be to freshmen?
Was it Sophie from Admissions?
And mine was, like, don't go into situations thinking of, like, the friends that you want to have, mm-hmm, almost.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can go in for that whole loyalty thing, whatever, like, that empowerment thing for sure. Love that. But, like, I feel like there's a lot of times in my freshman year, totally, where I would interact with people and just based on what I thought their vibe was, like, kind of discounted them in a sense.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, like, or didn't pursue them even.
Yeah.
Like, not actively discounting, but not actively, like, going for.
Yeah.
And in that way, I think we, so maybe this goes against, like, the whole vibe thing, but,
no,
like.
No, no, but.
In the sense it doesn't, it's just like, yeah, why, I think we sometimes have these preconceived notions of who we're going to be friends with,
totally,
and I think that's really, like, sad.
Oh my god. I think that's, and I'm still learning this, but that's a big thing that college taught me. I totally, mm-hmm, would be like, and I told this to my friends who I was like, I came in, this person from the suburb, I didn't really know how to, like, I don't know, mm-hmm, I didn't even know what vibe I was giving out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally was like, people, like, I was seeing all these people who dressed in ways I had never, like, very, like, L.A. or very, like, yeah, city. And I was like, oh my God, we're not going to vibe.
And very L.A. and very city.
Well, I'm just thinking of, like, what's more, like, bold and, like, very non-suburb.
No, I get it. Believe me. Coming from Maine.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And then I just was wrong.
Yeah.
And so ape to ape, it's so good to be surprised.
Ape to ape, it's so good to be surprised.
Right? Like, I think that's a lovely and welcoming feeling, yeah, that I'm trying to take with me. It's, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good advice, though.
And I think it's nice to make fun of ourselves a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Like, thinking, I think...
We're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. What do you mean?
To have been wrong.
To have been wrong.
Oh, you mean make fun of ourselves in what way?
Oh. Oh, I guess I was just going to say, like, that whole ape-to-ape thing. Like, in, yeah, general, I think sometimes we take ourselves so seriously. And, like,
oh, yeah.
Especially, and, like, I think that applies to this friendship thing, right? It's like, oh, like...
What does it mean
you're
to
so... You are such a way that you can't interact with that person. Or, like,
yeah,
you don't see that potential.
Right.
But, like, you're just apes. Like, what about that person? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I guess on that note.
On that note.
Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. This is Raga and...
Gaia.
And you're listening to Fishbowl. at 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all from us.
If you're ever up again at this hour in 2 weeks' time, we'll be doing this again.
Yeah.
Supposedly. And for those who are listening, thanks for